Good evening and welcome to Two Guys, Three Consoles. My name is Jeremy J. Monster Fowler, and with me, as always, is my good friend and co-host, Matt Leachman Leach.
Hey, Jeremy, how are you doing?
Not so bad, yourself?
Not too bad. This is episode 5, by the way. Should just
mention. It is.
Yes. So right. We're still going. Episode 5. Here we are. Yeah. So, yeah, it's been an interesting week. I think we've got some stuff that we can share. If you want to kick off with your news, that's quite big news for you. You started mentioning it last week, and lo and behold.
Okay. So last week we talked about Football Manager 25, and we recorded on the Wednesday with the episode coming out on Saturday, as usual. And then on the Friday, after we'd recorded, Sports Interactive and Sega put out a statement. I'm just going to read the beginning part of it. Sports Interactive regret to inform that following extensive internal discussion and careful consideration with Sega, we've made the difficult decision to cancel Football Manager 25 and shift our focus to the next release. So the statement goes on and on from there. I'm not going to read any more of it. Basically, the sort of worries that the community was having that I sort of touched on in last week's episode seemed to have been, you know, well-founded. And they just cancelled it completely. It just wasn't up to scratch. And they're now concentrating on the next release in November, which is going to be Football Manager 26.
I mean, you kind of thought that was going to happen, didn't you? So
Yeah, I had inklings, but I didn't think we'd actually do it. Football Manager is a bit like FIFA or whatever FIFA's called these days, when it releases sort of every year without fail. As far as I'm aware, their deal with Sega for them to get paid means they have to release a game every year, and they've not met that now to release one by the end of the fiscal year for this year. So what happens from now, we'll wait and see, I guess.
Yeah, it is a wait and see, isn't it? I mean, hopefully cancelling this year's version will help them concentrate on the next version and make it even better. That's what I'd hope would happen.
Yeah,
but I mean, not being a complete noob to that game, I don't know. It's just, Is it just menus, or is that actual screen of
players? Well, there is gameplay when you watch the matches happen, but I think that they were doing this version is like a complete start again, making it in Unity with a brand new engine. So it was very much starting from scratch rather than just iterating on last year's version. It seems that when they've tried using the new engine to make it again, it just wasn't up to par at all, and they just couldn't delay it again any further. They say in their statement that they can't really expect people to buy two versions in 1 year. And they'd already delayed it as far as March, and then they were going to be releasing another version in November, so they're just cancelling 25 now.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, they obviously left it as late as they possibly could. Well, yeah, hopefully fans of the Football Manager will be, you know, looking forward to the next version of the game, which is going to be, did you say, later this year?
Yeah, and it should be November when 26 releases, if they hit that.
Yeah, so it might get delayed into, like, Q1 next year, possibly.
Possibly, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah,
but that's about all I've got for news this week. What have you got?
Okay, so the Nintendo registered a patent for their Joy-Cons that we alluded to in the, or they alluded to in the trailer, where they use them as like a mouse.
Yeah, specifically.
Yes, so the specifics of this patent are, you see an actual hand clasped around the Joy-Con with your thumb on the actual thumbstick and your finger or two fingers on the actual buttons on the top of the Joy-Con, using it like an actual mouse. It looks really uncomfortable, I've got to say. It looks really awkward. I guess it is quite innovative in regards to making a Joy-Con also a mouse, but I don't know. It looks awkward to me. I don't know what you think.
I mean, we'll reserve judgment to actually try it for myself, but from the pictures in the patent, it doesn't look the most comfortable position. Not the most uncomfortable I've ever tried. If you play any old school Monster Hunter games like they're on the PSP, because the PSP's only got one stick and a D-pad, you have to use your fingers in a very unnatural position for the claw, as they call it, and use the wrong side of your fingers, in inverted commas, to control the camera on the D-pad, and that's not comfortable. Hopefully it's not as bad as the claw, but I guess we'll have to wait and see when we actually try it. Maybe it won't be as bad as the pictures make it look like, hopefully.
Obviously a pattern is, you know, you can't really see it in the 3D world.
No,
but it'd be interesting to see what it's like. You know, they've officially patented it, so nobody can copy them. I guess that's why they've done it. That's what patent's all about. We'll reserve judgment till it's in our literal hands, I suppose. So that was that bit of news. The other bit of news I had was the Metal Gear Solid Delta Snake Eater release date got leaked via the PSN. Apparently, there was a trailer that went up, but also which accidentally exposed the release date as the August 28th of this year. So that wasn't supposed to happen. So I think they quickly took that down and put it back up again without the release date on it. But there is a trailer up for the actual game, which I haven't watched yet. I must admit, I should have watched it before we started recording, but I haven't watched the actual trailer. I will go and watch it. Because I really enjoyed the original Metal Gear Solid on PS1. I think my brother introduced me to it on PS1. It's one of the first games he played other than Tomb Raider on PlayStation 1. And I did really quite enjoy the original Metal Gear Solid 2. Although you play most of that game as Raiden, don't you? So you don't really play as Snake. You play the opening level really as Snake, and then the rest is Raiden. So that was a bit. But then Metal Gear Solid 3, you play as the original version of Snake. I actually really enjoyed that one. It was really good playing it on PlayStation. I think I played it when it came out originally. I think I'd moved on by the time Metal Gear Solid 3 had come out. I didn't have my PS2. So the first time I played it was the PS3 remaster, which came out in like 2013, something like that.
Did you ever play the Twin Snakes?
I didn't play the. I wanted to play the Twin Snakes on GameCube, but by that time,
the one that is the remaster of the first game, but it uses the engine from 2.
Yeah, by that time, I'd already got rid of my GameCube and an original Xbox.
Ah, that's a shame. So that is one of the most. I think it didn't get released in massive quantities. So from what I understand, that's one of the most sort of sought after secondhand games these days. And the last time I saw it in CX, it was like 75 quid or something for a copy.
Wow,
which is a lot of money for a GameCube game.
It is a lot of money for a GameCube game. Still remember those cute little discs that GameCube games used to come on, those little half side discs,
the dinky discs.
Yeah, I really like that.
The dinky discs were cool, except that they only held 1.5 gig. So what it meant was you ended up with games like Resi 4 where you had multiple discs in the box because it wouldn't all fit on one disc.
But yeah, they were cute, those little discs. I remember getting the version of Ocarina of Time on the special edition of Wind Waker, I think it was.
Yeah, so
Ocarina of Time on the disc.
The Master Quest with the Ocarina of Time. And also, I know this because this was back in the day when I used to buy American games, because I had a Japanese GameCube that was modified to play American games like 6 months before they released the UK GameCube. So I was quite well in with the American thing. And in America, for Wind Waker, when you pre-ordered it, they gave you that disc, the Ocarina of Time Master Quest disc, to play in the meantime, like 3 months before Wind Waker actually released, so that you had something to play while you waited for a new one to release. Like you say, it was a bonus that they gave you in the box with Wind Waker.
Yeah.
I just felt that the American way of doing it was a bit better than what Nintendo of Europe gave us, because if you've just got Wind Waker, why would you be playing Ocarina at that point? You'd want to play a new one. So, I thought the American way of doing it was better in this case, but there you go.
I think I said it a couple of episodes ago, I might replay Ocarina of Time. It's been a long time since I played it.
So, it's just which format to play on. You can borrow my 3DS version if your 3DS or 2DS is still working, or you can just play the N64 version on NSO.
Yeah. But
the N64 version hasn't aged as well. Like, weirdly, the 3DS remaster probably looks how you remember it in your mind.
Yeah.
But when you go back to the N64 version, it's a bit like,
okay. I mean, it was
early 3D. Oh dear. PS1 and N64 have not aged well.
Yeah, it was what?
1998.
So that's 27 years ago.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a while ago. So keep your expectations low if you're going to play the N64 NSO version.
Also, if you play the NSO version, you've got the original Water Temple to deal with. Whereas the Water Temple in the 3DS version has got some quality of life stuff that makes it a bit more bearable to deal with.
Yeah. I mean, everybody, we said it before a few episodes ago, but the Water Temple is the worst temple, isn't it?
Yeah.
I must have put it out of my mind, because I can't remember actually. I remember going into the temple, but I can't remember exactly what I did.
Oh, really? You don't remember going to your menu and take the boots off over and over?
No, I don't remember any of that.
Okay, so on the 3DS version, they give you a quick thing that you can equip the boots to, and you just use the touchscreen to take them on and off super quickly. Whereas on the N64, you have to literally pause it, go into the menu, click on the particular option to take them off, and then do that in reverse when you want to put them back on again. And you have to put them on and off about 75 times in that tempo.
That sounds tedious. Maybe I won't replay it on the N64. I think I might actually have access to the digital version of the 3DS version on my...
Oh, we'll have a look. Although, saying that, the 3DS store has been taken down the same time as the Wii U one.
That's true, but I think if you downloaded stuff before, you can download it again, can't you?
Even if the store's been taken down?
I believe so.
Okay. That's
what I think.
If
you bought any games digitally, you could still re-download them. So.
Well, yeah, but that's bearing in mind that the store's still there. But if you're taking the store down, I'm not sure you might have any luck.
That's true. I don't know. I haven't been on the 3DS or 2DS for quite some time. So.
Yeah, with its 240p screen.
Yeah, it's a bit low res now, isn't it?
So what have you been playing? Who's going first?
You go first if you like.
Okay. So the first one I've got on our list is we both played the Monster Hunter Wilds beta last weekend.
Yeah.
Which was the second beta. And we were kindly joined by Disco Beaver, who we should probably give a shout out to. He's a good lad. And so that was the first time you ever tried Monster Hunter.
First time I've ever played a Monster Hunter game, yes.
Yeah, so the beta is a bit choppy, and I've seen things since then that they promised the frame rate will be smoothed out a little bit in the final release. But any of the improvements they've done since the first beta, unfortunately, aren't reflected in the second beta either. The second beta is the same engine as the one from the first beta last October. I mean, as the newbie to Monster Hunter, what was your experience with it?
Very confusing for the first 20 minutes to half an hour.
Yeah.
How to join up with you guys online, that was very confusing.
Yeah, well, it doesn't make it very clear exactly what you have to do to unlock the multiplayer in the beta, does it?
No, not at all. In fact, as Disco Beaver said, it was incredibly... some text up on screen, and if you don't read it and remember it, then you're stuffed. I mean, from a gameplay standpoint, playing it for the first time, I was lost, I'm not gonna lie. I didn't really know what I was doing until you and Disco Beaver explained to me exactly what I needed to be doing, because I had to get to a certain point in the beta, didn't I? So I had to defeat that first creature,
Doshiguma.
Yes, that's the one. I had to defeat that, which wasn't too difficult. I don't know if they've made it simplified for the beta or not, but it didn't seem too difficult to beat.
Hang on, I'm thinking about, was it Chetacabra, the frog type thing?
That's it, Chetacabra, yeah. So you know the names of these monsters, I haven't got a clue.
Yeah, you just sort of start to pick up on them for a bit. Yeah. But I mean, Doshiguma and Chetacabra are both new for this new game.
Right.
I think you had to go and see the alpha Doshiguma in the herd after doing Chetacabra before it let you do the multiplayer.
Yes, that's right. That's right, because I was at the camp.
Yeah,
because there's the base camp in this version of the beta, which was in the last beta. So the base camp you go to, and then you got to select a mission and go out into the open world. Mm-hmm. And then when I started fighting that second monster, that's when it popped up on your Disco Beaver's screens that you could join my hunts, which you can. So to get people involved, you can set off flares, SOS flares.
SOS flare, that's right.
Yeah, which has been in all the Monster Hunters, has it?
It was in World, which this new one is the sequel to.
Yeah,
I think World was the first one that introduced it, and Rise, which came out in between World and this one, had an equivalent of the SOS flare. It's not exactly the same, but it is still in there. There's a way, you've got what's called join requests in Rise, which do the same thing as the SOS flare, just not actually an SOS flare, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So it seems like you've got to put in a fair amount of time just to get familiar with the different systems and the way that they work, like your inventory and making the meals and eating the meals and that kind of thing. I guess the only thing I can really compare it to in regards to hunting and slaying monsters is The Witcher, I suppose, for me. But it's not really like The Witcher at all.
No, I mean, like the combat in The Witcher, I have my issues with, and I'm not saying the combat in The Witcher is bad. It's just, if you're used to the combat of a game like Monster Hunter, in comparison is not really the same.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's definitely a learning curve involved in being a newbie to this franchise for me.
Yeah.
I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to play the next session, or on the next session of the beta, which is this weekend.
This weekend, yeah.
It actually starts on Thursday, I think, because they gave us an extra day.
I thought the extra day was at the end.
I thought it was at the beginning.
Oh,
I don't know.
We'll have to look into that.
I've got to double check that. But yeah, they gave us an extra day, didn't they?
Yeah, because of the PSN outage, they gave us.
Yeah, PSN outage. Yeah, so they gave us an extra day of that. So I will go back and play some more.
Yeah,
I'm still a bit on the fence on it, really, whether I'm gonna.
Yeah, so like we sort of touched on the evening. Do you think when you go back, you'll stick with dual blades, or do you want to try some of the other weapons?
I'll probably try some of the other weapons. Dual blades was good because it's a good starter weapon to get used to the fighting style.
Yeah,
but I'll probably go and try some of the other weapons out, you know, just to see what I liked. The thing, and I might go no bounds about this, the only thing that at the moment that's wanting me to buy the full release is the one of the blacksmiths called Gemma. So
everyone likes Gemma.
Yeah,
go and get a gift.
Yeah, that's the only thing that's drawing me in at the moment. But I don't know if I want to pay 60 quid just so I can interface with her. So, yeah. But yeah, I enjoyed my time playing with you and Disco Beaver for sure.
Yeah, we did pretty good. We did. I know, obviously, this is the first time you've played it, so there was a more difficult monster that we tried a couple of times, and we just failed him, didn't we? But then after that, there's an even more difficult monster than that called Arkveld, who's even harder, who you get 5 carts, which is like the lives, for that particular quest instead of the standard 3, and we still failed it because it was that difficult.
Yeah.
I played a bit on the Saturday with my other friend, Matt, who's Matt with 1T, and he's on Xbox. And when I was playing with him, we did the Raidal that me, you, and Kyle failed on the Friday.
Yeah.
But we couldn't do Arkveld either. We tried him, and he absolutely ruined us. So.
Yeah. It's definitely they like to challenge. They definitely like to challenge players in regards to taking down these monsters, which is the whole appeal, right?
Yeah, it's part of it. I mean, I don't think it's quite on the same. It's not quite on a Soulsborne sort of level. But the difficulty is definitely there. It especially was in Iceborne, which was the expansion for World near the end.
Yeah.
There was one monster in particular that we won't mention the name of that I was stuck on for like 3 months at the end of the Iceborne expansion. And did do them eventually with a team that were helping me. But bless them, they must have tried it about a million times by the time we did it. And I think all of them had already done it without me. And we're only doing it again just to help me out. And they must have been like, for fuck's sake, Jeremy.
that challenging, was it?
Yeah. I mean, it was that good that when we finally beat Alatrian, sorry, so I wasn't going to mention it, but when we did him, I lay on the floor for like about 5 minutes and just breathed.
Just a sense of absolute relief.
Yeah, it's done. It's over.
Yeah.
And then after that, you got Fatalis that they put in, who I found even more difficult. I mean, I've done him in other versions of the game before, but the version in World, they give you 9 carts for the first attempt, and I still couldn't do him. And the thing is, if you beat him, it will give you the best armor set in the game. But the thing is that there's no more content after him. So my whole argument was, is that what's really the point in banging your head against him for however long? If the previous one monsters that took me 3 months, I'm not going to spend another 3 months trying to get the best armor set in the game when there's nothing to do with it after I'm done.
I guess if there's no more content after him, I guess the only thing you can say is that you did beat that monster, and that was, you know, you did it, and that was it. So, fair enough.
So for my other bits I've been playing this week, after the Football Manager 25 news, I found myself going back to Football Manager 24, and this will probably upset the purists, but I've got my Real Madrid save. I've heard arguments from people before that playing as Real Madrid is on easy mode, blah, blah, because they've got a bit of a good team to start with. But my Real Madrid team is so good, so OP, that I actually won the league for like 10 seasons in a row. And I only realised that when I went back to it, that it was like, oh, you've won your 10th consecutive title, blah, blah. And so I went back to it, tried playing it some more, did another season, and finished second.
Is that comparable with real life at Real Madrid? Do they won 10 seasons?
Right? I mean, they are pretty damn good. They do win the Spanish League an awful lot. It's either them, like, it's them or Barcelona basically win the La Liga pretty much every season. It's one of those two. and Real Madrid win the Champions League sometimes as well, which is like the European competition.
Mm-hmm.
Carlo Ancelotti is a really good manager, so they do win a lot. But whether they've won it 10 seasons in a row or not, I'm not sure. I think that's kind of pie in the sky stuff a little bit. But
yeah, my knowledge of football is extremely sketchy because I don't support any teams or anything like that. I watch England play and the World Cup and Euros. I will watch those, but league football, I don't have an interest in.
So I mean, without wanting to bang on about football for too long, England have at least got to some finals recently. We've been closer without actually managing to win it.
But yeah, yeah. I mean, the last, was it the Euros just gone last summer? We got to the final and then completely fell apart in the second half.
Yeah.
But let's move on.
I've got one more game to mention right now because I've got another game. So basically I've got four games total for what you've been playing, but I'm only going to talk about three now because the fourth one's going to come back around in Retro Corner when we've gone to that.
Okay.
So my third game I'm going to mention I've been playing is Forza Horizon 4.
Oh, yeah, we've mentioned it a couple of times, haven't we?
Yeah, it's the UK-based one. Weirdly, it's not on Game Pass anymore. It's been taken down from Game Pass.
When did it get removed from Game Pass? Do you know?
I don't know.
It must have been sometime in the last couple of years.
So I got a code from CD Keys for like $12.99 or something. Because if you try and buy Forza Horizon 4 directly from Microsoft Store at the moment, it tells you it's not available.
Right, okay.
So I've been enjoying the little... I think one of the things, I don't know if I mentioned before, one of the things I really appreciate about Forza Horizon games in general, they don't care if you're good at the game or not.
Right.
A lot of racing games expect you to either finish first or at least top three to progress. And if you're crap, they gatekeep you from the rest of the games. Like, you need to get good to progress.
Forza Horizon is like that.
Yeah. So Forza Horizon doesn't care. You can finish first or last. And the game's just like, right, you're done now. On you go. And you just keep progressing.
It's more about the fun of racing. Forza Horizon series.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Even driving from event to event, I find enjoyable. Bizarre, because in theory that's the becomes boring bit.
Yeah, I think the racing game I've enjoyed the most on modern systems was Burnout Paradise.
So that's on Game Pass. I've never played it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed playing that back on the PS3. I think it was.
Right. So on Game Pass, it's a remaster, I think.
Yeah, I really enjoyed playing that.
That was the most recent Burnout game they've done, isn't it?
Yeah, it was the most recent Burnout game they've done. But I enjoy playing that. I have played Forza Horizon. I played the original Colin McRae Rally on the PlayStation 1, and I enjoyed that. I believe that Rally series Codemasters still... Do they still do it?
They do. Colin McRae very sadly died, RIP.
Yeah.
And so they renamed it. It's now Dirt.
Right, yeah, that's it. I played Dirt. I think I played Dirt 3 back on the... PS3, PS4, something like that. I played one of the Dirts and I couldn't get on with it. So, but I enjoy those rally games as well. But yeah, being a pure, it's almost like an arcade racer, quote unquote, isn't it? Forza Horizon.
In comparison, like I played a little tiny bit of the most recent, the other one, the simulation one, Forza Motorsport, which I guess is technically Forza 8, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I tried that for about half an hour. And it reminded me that it's still not for me. Like, it's the same where they expect you to win the races and to be good and know what you're doing and what you're on about. And that's just not who I am. So,
yeah, no.
I'll stick to Forza Horizon.
Fair enough.
But that's all for me this week. What have you been playing?
I've been mostly playing Indiana Jones and the Great Circle this week, which I've actually completed.
Hooray!
I completed it on Sunday night. Some Sunday just gone. Good game. Enjoyed it.
Good ending?
Yeah, satisfactory ending, I would say. Spoilers. Spoiler alert. There is a secret ending, apparently.
Oh, okay.
But you have to collect every artifact in the game to unlock that ending.
Geez.
I'm not doing that.
No.
But
it's the best Indiana Jones thing since Last Crusade.
Definitely. The best bit of Indiana Jones content probably since The Last Crusade. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Nice.
Because I was so excited. We shouldn't really mention it. I was so excited for Kingdom of the Crystal Skull because it was the first indie movie since Last Crusade, and I was like, it's going to be great. And it was.
I went to see it in the cinema, and then he got into a fridge to try and
escape the bomb,
and I was like, what?
And that bit where Shia LaBeouf is swinging through the trees with the monkeys and the
Shia LaDouche.
Oh god, best forgotten that one.
Yeah,
but anyway, yeah. The Great Circle, I'd probably give it a solid 8 out of 10. I did enjoy it. One thing about that game is, I don't know if you noticed this, the two things actually. When you're wandering or stealthing around the areas, all the guards have colds.
Really?
Yeah, you could hear them sneezing.
All right.
I think what it is to signify is, if you can't see the guards, they sneeze, so you know that they're there.
Oh.
That was on every single area. I couldn't believe it. Just me. You'd literally be stealthing around the areas, and they'd be like, achoo! And like, why are they all sneezing? They all got colds. So you probably didn't play it long enough to get to that, but I couldn't believe it. I was like, why are they all sneezing?
Were they doing that in the Vatican as well?
Yeah, everywhere, mate. They did it in the Vatican, they did it in Iraq, they did it in Egypt, they did it in, you know, the last area.
The jungle or whatever.
Yeah, the jungle, whatever it was. It was like mad. And also, I think I said this before, if you use any kind of like projectile weapon, so a rifle or a revolver, it's almost instant death, which is a bit frustrating because they give you, because it's a machine games game and you know, Wolfenstein and Wolfenstein 2 and all that lot, you know.
So instant death for you or?
Instant death for Indy, yeah. Not instant death, but you don't have enough bullets for one. If they fire more than two shots at you, you're dead.
Right.
But that's the same with the melee combat. If you get beaten up by them, I think I had it on normal difficulty. Mm-hmm. If you get more than three or four punches, then you're dead.
Right.
So they do have this mechanic called Lucky Hat, where if you get knocked out, if you search around for your hat and pick your hat up, it's just like a little animation, and then you can carry on and see if you can get through that fight again. But if it happens again, then you're dead. So that's what I mean by the frustrating bit, because the puzzles are actually quite clever. The sneaking around, you to get anywhere really, you had to avoid enemies at all costs, apart from certain enemies that you couldn't avoid. You're about to clonk them on the head with a shovel or a wrench or spanner, which we're not American here, or a spanner, you know, or stealth take them out.
Yeah.
So I did enjoy the game. And I'm glad it was on Game Pass, because if I bought it, I probably would have been a little more disappointed. So as a Game Pass game, I was quite happy to, play through it and finish it, which is what I did.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very pretty game.
Mm.
I think we've mentioned before, it's the best-looking Xbox Series X game so far, I think.
Yeah. Here's another spoiler, if you haven't got past the spoilers yet. The last bit of the game is they find Noah's Ark.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Noah's Ark, it's all to do with the Great Circle. The stones that you find throughout the game plug into like the steering wheel, not steering wheel, what do you call the thing on a boat? The wheel. What's it called? Is it a steering wheel? I don't know. I don't know what it's called. Anyway, you put the plug in the little stones and it opens up like this dimensional rift that you can go through.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was quite a good tie-in with the mythology of it all. But yeah. Worth a play, I would say. If it comes to PlayStation, I would say wait for a sale if you're going to buy on PlayStation.
Yeah.
Decent game, 8 out of 10, I'd say.
I think it is coming to PS5 in April.
Yeah, they said spring, so probably April, I think it's going to be.
Because we've got at least one friend who I know is interested who's not on Xbox, so then he's going to get the PS5 version, hopefully.
Yeah, I'd say it's worth playing if you're a fan of the franchise.
Mm.
You know, if you like Indiana Jones, definitely play it. But I wouldn't buy it on release. I'd wait until it's a bit cheaper, really.
Yeah, okay.
Because I don't think it's worth £60. I think it's probably worth about £35 new.
It'll probably be £70 if it's on the PSN store to download.
Jesus, £70 for games. So yeah, what else have I been playing? I played some more Super Mario Wonder.
Right, yeah.
World 4 now.
Okay.
I switched characters over to Yoshi.
All right, easy mode.
Yeah, because I was getting annoyed with playing Mario. Right. Okay. At certain levels.
Well, what do you think about the Wonder Seeds so far? Have any of them surprised you?
The Wonder Seeds
are the things that sort of change the level massively.
Yes.
Something like
come across a few. Yeah, I don't mind those actually. I quite like the levels. They're very well designed. The way that they're laid out, they're done very well.
Yeah,
I definitely will finish it because I'm enjoying playing it.
Nice.
So yeah, I played a few levels of that. I actually completed, I think I spoke about it on the last episode, Donkey Country Returns HD. I've actually completed it.
Right.
So, hurrah.
Mm.
God, that game still gives me nightmares.
Yeah, I'm guessing Mario Wonder is like a nice, easy...
Yeah, it's much easier compared to Donkey Kong Country Returns.
Yeah,
it's much more relaxed kind of platforming game.
I'm guessing you're not in a rush to try and get that ninth world unlocked.
Get the ninth world unlocked, you've got to do quite a lot of work. You have to get the Kong letters on every level, which unlocks the K levels on each world.
Right.
Then you have to complete that and get the pearl at the end of that level. So you have to get 8 pearls, basically, from the 8 worlds.
Mm.
And then you have to take it up to this temple entrance just outside or at the top of that island, just near where the volcano is.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to plug in the pearls, and it opens up the ninth world, and then you can actually play the ninth world, which is called Golden Temple.
After you mentioned this, I did look into it a little bit. I think you can buy the pearls from Cranky Kong.
You can.
For 50 coins.
Yes, 50 banana coins each. You can do that.
So if you can get enough banana coins, in theory, you could just buy all the pearls from him to go and take them to unlock the thing.
You can. You can. I think that means, though, you need 400 banana coins in total.
It's quite a lot.
Is it that many? Hang on. Well, there's 8 worlds, 8 times 5 is 40, so 400 coins.
Yeah.
It's a lot, isn't it? Well, I wouldn't mind going back and trying to get all the Kong letters, but some of them are just like, how do you even... I'd have to use a guide, hands up. If I was going to do it, I'd have to use a guide.
Yeah,
I may go back to it and do it, because it is, you know, it's definitely doable, but you've got to be really quite good at the controls to do it. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine him doing it on motion controls at all. God knows how they do it on Wii.
No
chance. Completed that.
Right, yeah.
And I booted up Assassin's Creed 3 yesterday, so that's Monday night, just because I've not played through it properly since its release back in 2012 on the PlayStation 3.
Right.
I bought the remastered version on PS4, or the PS4 version, about 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And then I did play through up until the beginning of Sequence 5, I think, but... I think I lost my save or it didn't sync with the cloud or something. So I decided to start it again. Yeah, I'm going to play through it again, I think, because I disliked Connor playing him back in the day. I just thought he was so flat and boring as a character.
He is kind of dull, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. I mean, I didn't actually mind playing as Haytham. I thought even though he just turned out to be a Templar, spoilers for a 13-year-old game. But, you know, I quite enjoy playing as Haytham. He's got more charisma about him compared to Connor. So if they did a Haytham game on his own, that would have been quite good. But I suppose they kind of did that with Assassin's Creed Rogue, which I did play.
Yeah, so that was the one. You're more of the Assassin's Creed guy than me, but from what I remember, Rogue was released on the 360 and PS3.
That's right. At
the same time as Unity came up on Xbox One and PS4.
That's correct. Yeah,
because the last gen couldn't deal with Unity. So to try and appease the Assassin's Creed fans that were still on the last gen, they released Rogue instead.
Yeah, Rogue isn't a bad game, actually, you know.
Yeah?
I played the remastered version on the PlayStation, or the PlayStation 4 version on PlayStation 5 a couple of years ago. Because I kind of dismissed it when it first came out. I did have it on PS3. I only played the first sequence and then never went back to it.
Right.
So I've got the remastered version. It's actually quite a decent game.
It's on Switch now as well, isn't it?
It is on Switch, yeah. Yeah, you can play on Switch, yeah. So it is a decent game. It's definitely worth playing through if you're a fan of Assassin's Creed. You know, I've played all the mainline entries, all of them.
I mean, I used to be, I just got a bit burnt out.
Yeah, there is a lot of them
every year.
Yeah.
It just got to the stage where I was like, I'm good. I don't want more Assassin's Creed. I think, weirdly, where I started to go off Assassin's Creed was where a lot of people were really loving it. What was the one after 3? The pirate one.
That was 4 Black Flag. Black Flag is a really good game.
So Black Flag, I did 4 or 5 hours, and I was like, I think I'm done.
No, fair enough. I mean, it's more of a pirate game than an Assassin's game, really. It is a good game. I enjoyed 4. I'm looking forward to Shadows. We mentioned it before.
Yeah.
Just hope it's not bloated like Valhalla was, because Valhalla was ridiculously bloated. Shadows, I just hope Ubisoft managed to bring it around into, you know, a decent game, but we'll see about that one.
Yeah.
That's the games I've been playing.
So our next section this week is Retro Corner, and do you want to go first on this one?
Yeah, I'll go first on this one.
All right, cool.
So I went round to my mate's house when, was it, I think it was at college. This was 1991.
Okay.
And this game had been out for a few years already.
Mm.
Shadow of the Beast on the Amiga 500. Mm-hmm. One of the showcase games when the Amiga was first released, I think.
I don't think I knew anyone that had an Amiga of some kind that didn't have this game.
Yeah, this game came out, and there was nothing like it when it came out.
It was the ubiquitous Amiga game, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It had the parallax scrolling in the background, which I can't really describe it. You have to see it. So just Google Shadow of the Beast gameplay, and you'll see what I mean by the scrolling in the background.
Yeah.
But the premise is of the game that you've been transformed into a beast. You're actually a man, and your mission is to basically redeem your manhood or become a man again, I should say. And it consisted of many levels of getting through enemies, and I think there was a final boss in the end. It's been a long time since I played it, but it was a side-scrolling platform action game. That's what it was. And most people who I knew had Amiga had played this game.
Yeah.
It spawned two sequels on the Amiga, I think. Mm. Yeah, Shadow of the Beast 2 and Shadow of the Beast 3 both came out on the Amiga. Really good games, yeah. Quite hard games, actually, because I think there wasn't such a thing as checkpointing system in those games. Mm. Like, if you lost a life, you go back to the beginning of the level you were currently on.
Right.
And if you lost all of your lives, I think it went back to the beginning of the game. I can't remember. Yeah, it's been a while. Although, did you have save files in it? I can't remember. I kind of put this on here and completely forgot to research the game. So I'm going from my memory here. I should have looked it up earlier. Never mind. But yeah, one of those games that comes along every so often and you think, wow, I've got to play this. And I don't think it was that game. I think it was Turrican 2 that I showed game footage. My mate recorded it through on a VHS cassette. That's how old I am. And I showed it to my dad, and he went out and bought me an Amiga for my birthday. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, that's what convinced him to buy an Amiga for me.
Nice.
But yeah, Shadow of the Beast. Good game, that one.
So mine this week is Cannon Fodder for the SNES, which is one of the few SNES games I've still got complete in box.
I can't believe you've still got the cartridge. That's amazing. And the instructions and the box.
Yeah. And it's even got a little like protective thing around the outside of the cardboard, because Nintendo old school games, when you know, the cardboard boxes were infamous for falling apart and stuff. So the little sleeve thing keeps it all together. It was made by Sensible Software, and again was released on the Amiga first. Sensible Software, of course, also did Sensible Soccer.
I actually played Sensible Soccer. Not being a football fan, I did actually play it.
Sensible Soccer is amazing. It's one of the best football games ever made.
Yeah.
Even if you're not into football, you can still get enjoyment.
Yeah, it was really good. I played quite a bit of it on the Amiga.
And there's a few. There's like the Sensible World of Soccer sequel and a couple of other different versions. I should probably, if we're talking about SNES, mention there's a YouTuber I watch called SNES Drunk, who is basically whole channel is Super Nintendo games.
Wow.
And he's been doing it, I think, for like over a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And he has sort of branched out a little bit into like Switch Drunk and Sega Drunk and stuff like that to try and like keep his content going, because there's only so many Super Nintendo games that released. And he's gone through sort of Japanese as well, the Super Famicom and stuff like that. But I know he's a big fan of Sensible Soccer.
Compatible are the Super Famicom games with the SNES? Or is it completely different system?
You need an adapter if you're using original hardware. But I think he emulates a lot.
Right.
But anyway, sorry, getting off topic. So Sensible Software released Cannon Fodder. The Super Nintendo port was in 93.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it controlled better on the Amiga with a mouse.
Yeah, on the mouse and the keyboard, yeah.
Yeah, because the Super Nintendo version controlled about as good as I think that kind of game can control with a pad. I'm not even sure how to describe it to people if they've not played it, because it's it's not really a real tame strategy, is it?
It's like, no, it's more of a warfare, comical warfare game.
Obviously, yeah,
from that the tone of it is comical. It's supposed to be tongue in cheek.
Yeah, very much so. Like, you start the first level with like two troops.
Yeah,
and then you gain more and more troops as you go through each mission.
Yeah,
there's like 24 missions in the game,
mm-hmm.
and believe it or not, today when I was playing it, it was like first time I've probably touched it for like 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
but decided to dig it out and dig out the Retron 5 today because I've got that. That is the Retron 5. It's kind of hard to get hold of now, unfortunately, but it's like a 5-in-1 retro console.
Mm-hmm.
That plays like Super Nintendo, Mega Drive, Super Famicom, Game Boy, and NES games. And outputs in 720p.
Okay.
In modern telly.
Yeah.
And that's the one I've got that I mentioned. It'll play my entire SNES library, apart from Super LS that I mentioned, the shoot 'em up. It won't play that. So yeah. Anyway, I dusted off the Retron 5, got cannon fodder out, and was playing a bit today. It's really good. The Retron 5 itself, the pads are awful.
Yeah.
Considering it's a retro console, the pads have got analog sticks, but no D-pads.
That sounds hard.
But luckily, the Retron 5 has got ports on it for original Super Nintendo controllers.
I was going to say, has it got compatibility with the original controllers?
Original Mega Drive controllers.
Yeah.
So after I realized that the pads that came with them were a bit naff, I had to go and seek out some original controllers just to use when I do play it, because I don't even know where the Retron 5 pads are. They're in my room somewhere.
Yeah.
I wouldn't use them. But yeah, I think I've never got to the end of the 24th level for cannon fodder, because it does start to get quite hard.
Yes.
Late on.
Yes.
Did you play it on Amiga back in the day?
I did play it on Amiga. I don't think I got to the end of the game. I think I got about probably halfway through it, and it just got too hard. And
yeah,
I was much less patient with games, you know, when I was 17, 18 than I am now.
Mm.
So if I got so far in a game and I wasn't progressing, I'd just move on to the next game.
Right. So I think I was 12 when I first played this. I think I rented it back in the day, and the complete in box version I've got now, I actually got off eBay, weirdly, a couple of years ago. And it wasn't that expensive either. I was shocked I could get such good quality version of such an old game for not too much money. I think I put
not
like,
too much money, yeah.
I think it was like 15 or 20 quid maybe. And a lot of retro games, if you're looking at complete in box, you're looking at 3 digits at least.
Mm.
So I think I was either super lucky or cannon fodder isn't particularly popular and there's a lot of copies out there.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it wasn't particularly popular, it's true.
But I think it released on SNES, Mega Drive. I'm trying to think what else it got ported to from the Amiga. Can you think of any other formats off the top of your head that
it
was
on? It may have been on the Amiga CD32. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah.
It may have been.
What, Atari ST?
It probably was on ST as well, I would say. I don't think it made its way to PC.
No.
No, I don't think there was an MS-DOS version of it.
I think if there's a PS1 version.
No, I think the PS1 was well after Cannon Fodder. So I don't
it's
think...
like PS1's got things like, as well as, of course, Worms, it's got Hogs of War.
Yeah.
But they're sort of slightly different sort of genre from Cannon Fodder.
Yeah, there really. Was a Cannon Fodder 2, which did come out on PC, I think.
Okay. I've never played that one.
Yeah, there was a Cannon Fodder 2. I'm not sure if it came out on the Amiga, because the Amiga had been binned off by that time, right. So it may have been a PC and or console game.
Hmm. I think Cannon Fodder and Sensible Soccer are literally the only two games ever played by Sensible Software.
Yeah, I don't know what happened after Cannon Fodder 2.
No.
God knows what happened to them. They probably got swallowed up by some other big company.
Yeah, well, quite possibly. They're a British company, aren't they? Or they were.
They were, yeah.
But yeah, anyway, that's the end of my retro corner this week.
Nice one.
Whether I stick with it, I say when I was playing it today, I got to like Mission 3. And I failed that a couple of times, and I was like, right, back to Forza Horizon 4 now.
It's hard to go back to retro games when you're so used to the modern stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the problem with, like, I've got my SNES Classic Mini, which I've hacked as well and doubled the games on.
Yeah.
And whenever I boot it up, I tend to play it for a short period of time. It's not very long before I'm, you know, you get your nostalgia hit for like 5-10 minutes, and then it's like, oh, I'm done now.
That happened to me when I bought the SNES Mini. I put on, I booted it up, I played Mario Kart, I played Star Wing.
Yeah.
And then like, all right, I'm done.
Platinum Watch this week is all you. In fact, neither of us have actually got a Platinum this week, have we? But
no, I haven't got a Platinum this week. I'm not actively working on a Platinum. But let me talk about this one because it might jog my memory. So I actually went for this Platinum 2 or 3 years ago.
Okay.
So this is the original PlayStation 4 version of Uncharted 4.
Right.
So not the remastered PlayStation 5 version.
Okay.
This is the PlayStation 4 version, which have multiplayer trophies.
Right.
So I made my way through the entire campaign when the game first came out. Uncharted 4 is probably the best Uncharted, I would say, out of all of them. It's probably the best. The one, it's got the best story. It's right. got the best graphics. Mm-hmm. It's got the best gameplay. So out of all the Lost Legacy is pretty good as well. But I think out of all the Uncharted, I think 4 is probably my favorite. I've played it a couple of times and I've really enjoyed it every time. Anyway, so I made my way through the campaign, just playing through the story. And then I went back, like I say, a couple of years ago and played through it on hard to unlock the cheats that you can use in the game, which are the cheats? I suppose you can like infinite ammo. You can't get invulnerability, I don't think. Right. You can get like infinite ammo. You can select your weapons at the beginning of every encounter.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes crushing a lot easier because you have to complete it on crushing as part of the platinum,
right.
Which I did. I completed it on crushing.
All right.
And then I did another
hard part. Then, in theory.
Sorry.
You've done the hard part then.
Yeah, that was the hardest part, quote unquote. And then I went back through and got all the collectibles. I did follow a guide to get the collectibles because some of them are just ridiculously stupidly hidden. So I did that, and then it came to the multiplayer trophies, and this is where I failed or bailed out, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
There was one specific trophy in the multiplayer. I spent like 4 hours trying to get this multiplayer trophy. Like, you had to be online, you had to be in a certain type of match, I think it was, or something like that. Mm-hmm. I blocked out of my mind because it was that traumatic, but mm-hmm. I've still got that outstanding trophy, and I think it's only that and one other trophy that I need to get the platinum.
Mm.
But I won't get it because I'm not going to go back to it. I spent too much time on it. I wasn't enjoying it. You know, the enjoyment factor had gone with getting the platinum. It was just pure grind to get this stupid multiplayer trophy
mm-hmm.
that I needed for the platinum. So yeah, I won't be getting the platinum for Uncharted 4 PS4 version anytime soon. No. I think the PS5 version, I'm not sure if it's got multiplayer or not. I don't think it has.
Right.
But the PS5 version is a bit of a... He has to do the same thing again. I don't think I've got the will to play through it on crushing again.
Yeah.
So yeah, I won't. That's my platinum failed, that one. But yeah, Uncharted 4. Maybe I'll go back to it one day, but I very much doubt it.
So if we're moving on. This week's subject for the episode is our favorite third party developers.
Yeah.
Do you want me to go first? Or do you want to
go first? You go first on this one, yeah.
Okay, so I went for Capcom, but Capcom make Monster Hunter, Resident Evil. I love the Resident Evil 4. To varying degrees, I love Resident Evil games in general, but Resident Evil 4 in particular, I absolutely adore that game.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you've got Street Fighter. Going back to Street Fighter 2, I mean, obviously Street Fighter 1 was before Street Fighter 2, but I don't think I was really aware of Street Fighter until Street Fighter 2 came along. And when that first released in 91, that was a very big deal and was into Street Fighter from then onwards. And then also you've got Capcom make the Mega Man games. And back when I was into NES, I didn't have it myself, I don't think, but I had a friend called Reese when I was at school who had Mega Man 2. And we would go to his house and play Mega Man 2 over and over again. And I could never get past this one particular bit of the last level I can't get past, but he finished it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think Capcom have been sort of fairly like storied. They've got a lot of history, a lot of games that they've released over the years, and they keep releasing lots of different things in different genres. And I think Monster Hunter has become their biggest selling franchise now. I think Monster Hunter World is their top selling game ever.
More than Resident Evil?
Yeah, and Street Fighter.
Wow.
So yeah, Monster Hunter World sold 20 million copies. And the expansion for World Iceborne sold 10 million, which to sell to half of your player base to the expansion is, I think, it's pretty good.
Pretty good, yeah, very good. They do like to nickel and dime you, the old Capcom, though.
They do, it's true. But then so do the majority, to be honest. I think Nintendo, who don't, are in the minority.
Yeah, because that's one thing about Capcom is they'll... And I've fallen into that trap with Resident Evil 4 Remake, where I needed... I was going for the Platinum.
Mm.
I haven't got the Platinum yet, but I was going for it.
Oh, so the Platinum for Resi 4 Remake, there's some trophies in there, like, aren't there, like, finish the game on hard in less than 7 hours or something.
Yeah, that's the one that's the one that's got me. That's the one that's got me.
That's hard.
Yeah, you can do it, but you have to... I mean, in contrast, Resident Evil 2 Remake, I got the Platinum for that.
Right.
And I had to play through that game 7 times to do it.
7.
That's because it was the first playthrough, it was a blind playthrough. I think the minimum amount of playthroughs that you can do for the Platinum is, I can't remember if it's 4 or 5. You have to do it. I think you have to do at least 4 playthroughs, I think,
Jeez. To
get the Platinum. Because you've got to know exactly where you're doing and where you're going, exactly which bits to do and which where to go, you know. And by the 3rd or 4th playthrough of that, I knew exactly what I was doing. Because you've got to complete the game, I think it's, you've got to complete the game on hard in less than 2.5 hours.
Right.
Which I did do. I think I got
really?
2 hours, 24 minutes or something.
Nice.
So, yeah.
No.
Obviously, it's doable. But Resident Evil 4 is proving a bit of a challenge to get the Platinum for that one. I did download the DLC as well, the Ada Wong DLC. Oh,
yeah, it's all right. Yeah. So the flatmate and I played through the Resident Evil 4 Remake first by myself,
mm-hmm.
and then did it again for New Game Plus. And then, because he hadn't played the remake, he didn't play the original version on GameCube, we played through we did pass the pad for the remake for the main campaign. And then because I hadn't done the DLC, we followed on from the end of the campaign and just did the DLC straight away from there, doing the same thing.
Okay. Yeah.
And the DLC is, it's all right. It's not bad. The only problem I had with it, and again, spoilers, they introduce, you know, the whole nemesis type trope.
Yeah.
Where you've got a boss character that chases you through the whole game and you have to fight him like, what, 5 or 6 times, and you can't kill him the first 5 times. You have to like fight him off and repel him.
Yeah.
And then eventually, when you get to the very last fight, you can fight him and kill him, finally.
Yeah.
They do that again in the Resi 4 DLC. And okay. As soon as I realized that's what they're doing, I was like, really, Capcom, have we done this enough?
Doing it again.
Yeah. So I got a bit annoyed. But I mean, when you're saying about they liked nickel and dime you, it's normally cosmetic stuff. They do sometimes say...
Yeah, it's not normally something that would like pay to win or anything like that.
I mean, if you look hard enough, there are a couple of bits in some of the games that are pay-to-win type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the Resi 4 remake, there's particular guns that you can only get by paying them real money for.
Capcom.
Mm.
Dodgy, very dodgy.
In it. And in Street Fighter 6, you've got like the arcade type mode where they've got like a digital arcade in the game and you wander around with your avatar guy that you make yourself.
Yeah.
And then sit yourself down at an arcade machine in there, and then someone else sits themselves down as well. And then once that happens, you're in then like an arcade versus that other person. So in that mode, they've got you can obviously change how your avatar looks, and they've got some Ninja Turtles costumes. And I think I pay like $10 to look like Leonardo, and then felt a bit. Like, why did I spend that money, really?
Why did I do this?
Yeah, I did it for like, you know, I got about 30 minutes worth of enjoyment out of it. And then before I knew it, I'd taken the Leonardo costume off anyway. And then it just sat there ever since. So that was a waste of money. But anyway.
Yeah, they got you.
They did. But yeah, they try and do cosmetic stuff to try and sell you it for real money in Monster Hunter. I just don't do it.
No.
They've usually got event quests in the game that you don't have to pay for. They're just in the game and they give you cool things as rewards from the event quests. I just play them rather than actually spend real money on any of the cosmetic stuff. But anyway, that was mine. What's yours?
Arcane Studios.
Oh, yes. They're now defunct.
Yeah, which is a real shame. Because the first game of theirs that I played was Dishonored on the PS3.
Yeah.
And I was absolutely blown away by the game. You know, immersive sin, they call it, which is accurate.
Yeah, I remember playing that at EGX before it came out.
Yep.
That was like the buzz of the show was that game.
But yeah.
I think the bit on EGX floor, you could like turn yourself into like a rat or...
So you can possess the power to possess, and you can possess a rat in that, or you can possess a human.
Yeah,
that's right. So the good thing about Dishonored is, or the amazing thing about Dishonored is, you can approach it from any angle because it being this immersive sim. So there is a trophy, and I've got the plan for it. It's on the remastered version, not the original PS3 version, but you can have to play the entire game. You can refuse the powers at the beginning of the game.
Right.
And you just use what you've got, your wits and the basic power, I think, which is shift, I think, which lets you jump across. And that's the only power that you can use.
So does that mean you have to basically stealth the whole game?
Pretty much, you have to stealth the whole game, yeah.
Right. Well,
and it is a real challenge, but oh my God, it's so rewarding when you finish it with that. It's really good. And that really switched me on to that type of game, you know. I never really played an immersive sim properly before that. I suppose you can count Half-Life 2 maybe as an immersive sim, maybe, but it's more story-driven first-person shooter, I would say.
Yeah, like so you're making me think of Bioshock, but I don't think
Bioshock is probably, I'd say that's an immersive sim.
Okay.
But, so Dishonored, and then Dishonored 2 on the PS4, that was such a good game, where you can choose to play as either Corvo or Emily.
Yeah.
So that was really good on the PS4. But I think the main game that I really enjoyed playing of theirs was Prey on the PS4.
Right.
Absolutely amazing game if you've never played it. Like a proper immersive sim. Mm-hmm. There's so many different ways you can approach that game. I did get the platinum for it. It requires 2 playthroughs, I think.
Right.
And you have to find like every document and all that, like with all the collectibles.
I mean, 2 is not too bad, really, for a platinum.
Yeah, it's not too bad, really, 2 playthroughs. Same with Dishonored 2, that was playing once as Corvo, once as Emily. But they are really well-crafted, well-made games. I even watched a documentary on NoClip, which is a YouTube channel that does documentaries about Arkane Studios. A really interesting documentary. A lot of passionate people working there or worked there.
Mm.
And then, of course, Redfall, which was their last game, absolutely tanked. I didn't play it. I purposely didn't play it.
I mean, it's on Game Pass.
It is on Game Pass, but I don't even want to play it because I've heard such negative stuff about it. I suppose I could play it just to get my own opinion of it, but having that as like your last hurrah as a studio is a bit of a downer, isn't
it? Yeah, I think the worst thing is that Microsoft made them make it. It's particularly their genre of game.
Yeah,
they're going to make this game that they don't usually excel at.
Yeah,
and they've been closed down because of it.
Yeah, it's a real shit situation.
Mm.
I think what I've seen the gameplay footage, that's your gameplay, I don't think is too bad, but the story and the content and the layout of the game is not great.
I think it's just mediocre overall. Like one of the lads from my group chat that I'm in was really pushing because it's got multiplayer, wanted us all to play it when it was coming out, and I just didn't. I left it well alone. I think they might have played it for a little bit without me, but I didn't feel like I missed out by not playing it.
Because that previous game they did before that, Deathloop, was really good.
Yeah, so that's the one that Microsoft had bought them, but they still released Deathloop as a PS5 timed exclusive. It's on Xbox now. Again, you can get it on Game Pass.
Yeah, it's a really good game. I really enjoyed playing it. I didn't like it at first. I was like, what is this fucking game? It's a bag of shit. But after playing it for a few hours, I'm like, oh, actually, I'm quite enjoying this. I enjoyed it so much, I got the platinum for it.
Oh, okay. Definitely, it's got the Dark Souls-style invasion
piece. Yeah, it's got the invasion thing in it. Yeah, people can invade you, and that is one of the
Isn't there some settings you can change it to friends only?
Friends only, yeah.
But it's a bit better that you only get invaded by your mates,
not
by randoms.
Yeah, but it's such a well-structured game, you know, because the premise is that you get to a certain area and then die and go back, and you go through the levels again, you know, and you can do different things at different times, and you get to know the layout of the levels. It's a really well-crafted game. That's what they were known for, really well-crafted immersive sims.
Yeah.
And then this Redfall game came out and just annihilated them.
Mm.
So I'm sad that they're no longer a thing, but that was my favourite third-party developer.
Okay. So we've got genres that we like that have died off mainly.
Yeah.
And this week we're doing point and click games.
Yeah, point and click games. I mean, I mentioned Zach McCracken and the Alien Mindbenders last episode, didn't I?
Yeah.
Which was, I think it was the first point and click game I played. The last point and click game I get, point and click game I played was Day of the Tentacle on the PS4.
Nice.
That was a remastered version, which came out a few years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
So I've not played the original version. This was the remastered version. Right. So there's not many of them around anymore. In fact,
no.
I did make a new Monkey Island a couple of years ago, Return to Monkey Island.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's point and click, though. I'm not sure.
And there's Leisure Suit Larry.
Yes.
That I played back in the day, which was the first one.
Yeah.
And the Lounge Lizard.
Lounge Lizards, yeah. I played Leisure Suit Larry, Looking for Love, which was the second one, I think.
Right.
And they made a few after that. But they kind of, with the advent of the Telltale games, which I think you've played a couple of, the point and click kind of more came more like a choice type game.
Yeah.
Because that game I mentioned on the first or second episode, I can't remember, Twin Mirror, that's like a choice game.
Right.
Similar to Telltale.
Some
point and clicks have kind of evolved into the Telltale games.
So the Walking Dead ones, I played season one and two.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember which one. So you've got the little girl character who's in season one with Lee.
Yeah.
And she's called Clementine.
Clementine, yeah.
And at some point in their story, she grows up.
Yeah, that's right.
Was that season three? Do you remember?
Season three, yeah. She's older in season three, and she's even older again in The Walking Dead. What's it called? There's a four. It's like season four, but it's called something else. The Walking Dead. Oh God, it'll come back to me in a minute. But yeah, she's proper grown up in that one.
Well, I can't remember if it was. I played season one and two, and then basically, whichever one I bounced off is either season three or season four.
Mm-hmm.
I played to the end of the first episode, and she was such a different character than she was when she was younger. In fact, it even made her a bit of a bitch from what I remember. And I was like,
I
don't really like this character.
No, her character did evolve over time. New Frontier, that's it. It was called The Walking Dead New Frontier. That's the one.
Mm-hmm.
That was the fourth game that she was in, and the last game that she was in.
Right. And then I played the spin-off one.
Michonne? You played Michonne?
Yeah. I didn't like that either.
And there was 100 Days as well.
Don't know if I ever played that one.
Yeah, 100 Days was like a small spin-off that they did, the original one or the second one, I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
But no, yeah, I played all of them. But going back to point and click, so Zach McCracken, I played Simon the Sorcerer on the Amiga 500. Right. That was a point and click. Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis. That was quite a good point and click, that one. That was on the Amiga 500. And that was before I had a hard drive. So I think it was on 5 floppy disks. So I had 2 disk drives and had to keep swapping around. And then Monkey Island 2 came out on the Amiga, and that was 12 disks.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. When I first got my hard drive from my Amiga, that was the first game I installed on my hard drive.
So I didn't have to swap
disks anymore. 12 disks.
It must have been right behind 12 disks.
Yeah. So Monkey Island 2 on the Amiga, Monkey Island, the original Monkey Island. I think Escape from Monkey Island was like a 3D, it wasn't a point and click, it was like a 3D third person, where you Guybrush, basically it's not a point and click at all, you literally interact with objects. And that was Escape from Monkey Island, I think. And there was a point and click on the PC, another Monkey Island, I can't remember which one that was, but my PC wasn't powerful enough to run it at the time, so I had to get an upgraded PC so I could play it, which was a bit frustrating. But other point and click games, I'm sure there's one of those that comes to mind, because LucasArts did quite a few. They did the Indiana Jones ones, they did the Zach McCracken Maniac Mansion.
Full Throttle?
Yes, I've not played that one. There is a remastered version you can play on PlayStation and on Xbox, I think.
Right.
So that is supposed to be quite good. I've not played that one, though. There was Grim Fandango, but that wasn't really a point and click. That was a third person, like a bit like Escape from Monkey Island.
Right.
So that's what they kind of evolved into. They evolved from point and click into like third person, like interactive games. Of course, there were the Broken Sword games. They did release a Broken Sword game, a remake of the first game, late last year, I think it was, or early this year. I think it was late last year.
Broken Sword is the one I always get mixed up with. What was the arcade game? Dragon's Lair, is it? Like the FMV type game.
How could you mix up those two
games? Did I just destroy my brain?
Dragon's Lair was like left, up, fire, right. Whereas, like, you know, Broken Sword was like pointing.
Oh, I don't know.
But fair enough.
I didn't really play either of them particularly, but for some reason in my brain I just used to get those two mixed up.
Yeah, so there was the Broken Sword game. So it hasn't died out completely, but, you know, it's kind of remakes of original games, Full Throttle and Day of the Tentacle and Broken Sword. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they don't really tend to make those kinds of games anymore. Like I say, they've evolved into those kind of choice games. That's what they've kind of become.
Yeah, so for Telltale, by far my number one of all those they've ever made is The Wolf Among Us, based on the Fables graphic novels.
And it's have you got any graphics novels? I've got about 7 or 8 of them.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think I've got like 4 or 5. They're really, really good, and the Bigby character is great, and it's one of those where the last line of the first game was like a...
Yeah, like a minds
blow your mind, mic drop moment, sort of thing. And then they announced they were making a sequel, and then Telltale went bust and then started again.
Yes,
like Phoenix from the Ashes kind of thing. And so allegedly Wolf Among Us 2 is still coming,
apparently it is,
but no release date, no word for ages, nothing.
So not doing anything for it for a couple of years now, I don't think. So we can. It hasn't been cancelled, so maybe they're still working on it.
Yeah, but then Beyond Good and Evil 2 by Ubisoft hasn't been cancelled either, and that's like, what, 12 years in the making now?
That game's been rebooted so many times internally, development-wise. I don't know if it's ever going to be released.
No, well, the other thing is that I forget his name now, that the French fella, the creator guy, has quit the games industry and gone to start a wildlife sanctuary.
You know, the stress of creating Beyond Good and Evil 2 did that to him.
Yeah. So whether they actually finished the game without the main dude who was the creator remains to be seen.
They said it's still coming. I think the last time they got asked about it, which was about a year ago, they said it's still coming. So who knows? Yeah. A bit like Duke Nukem Forever, which got released and was an absolute pile of trash.
I believe when I see it. But anyway, is that sort of the end?
I think we've come to the end, haven't we?
So we would read some reader mails if we had any more emails.
Yes.
But we've not had any more emails.
No more emails yet. Still time, though.
So, if if you want to have your email read out on the podcast, send them in.
Yep, send them in. It's 2guys3consoles@yahoo.com.
Yeah, and that's written... 2guys3consoles, not the number like the rest of social media is, just because I couldn't put numbers as the email address.
Yes, absolutely.
And so other than that, you can find us on Instagram, 2guys3consoles, that is the numbers.
Yep.
And also on Blue Sky. And then my personal Instagram is j_monster. And on Blue Sky, I'm just literally jmonster, no underscore.
You can also get us on TikTok if you've got that.
Oh, yeah.
2guys3consoles on TikTok.
Yeah.
Personal Instagram for me is memleach26, and Blue Sky is mattleach1 on Blue Sky.
And that's about it. That's a show.
Yeah, that's episode 5. We're done. We'll see you on the next one.
Yeah, thank you for listening, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.